Thank the Lord this morning for His salvation to you and me. One writer in the Testaments, Old Testament, I believe, said this is the Lord's doings, and it's marvelous in our eyes or in our sight. No one and no group can duplicate the work of the Lord. So let's pray the Lord would continue to bless in this earth today and call after whosoever will, because that fountain is still flowing and that river of life, we can still come to it and drink till we thirst no more. So we thank the Lord this morning for what He is doing in the world and what He's done for our brother and our sister and for every one of us. We have great cause to say praise God and rejoice in Jesus' name. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's not an empty word, but it's a word full of the magnificent glory of the workings of God in the world. Praise the Lord. Side note from my message, but I asked a young man one time, many years ago, didn't know him, but he was reading the Bible, and I said something to him. He was on his lunch break, and I said something to him. And he said something, and the word hallelujah came forth out of one of us, I don't know. And I said, what does the word hallelujah mean? And his response, and I'll never forget it, I really liked it. He said, 10,000 praises unto God. And I've never forgot that. That's what it meant to him, 10,000 praises unto God. This morning, I have a little burden that the Lord's been talking to me about for a week or two. And it's concerning the kingdom of God, church of God, if you will, the body of Christ. And that is so widespread in so many scriptures, I know that time will never, it's an exhaustive, that we can't exhaust the subject. But I've been thinking about reigning with Christ in the kingdom of God. And let's talk about that a little bit today and consider it. There's a lot of different facets of life. And they're powerful most of the time and many times, and they have a great influence on us. Some of those influences can be bad and ungodly, and some of those influences can affect us to good. And God has made a way that the things of life, the things of the devil, will not have a dominion over us, but we can reign through this, in this life, through Christ Jesus, over the dominions of life, the dominions of sin, the dominions of self, the dominions that would come and challenge us. I'd like to read a scripture this morning. It's found in Romans, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. Romans 5 and 17, and consider that a little bit. I believe one writer said, what I say to you, I say unto all or something. I'm thinking about what the Bible said, and what the Bible teaches, and what we're reading this morning. And it's not locked into a time frame of a couple of thousand years ago. It's not locked into Abraham or to Noah or to Moses. It's not locked into the Adam and Eve's time. But what the Bible said, it says to us all, that we might be free, that we might enjoy the blessings of the Almighty, that we might truly possess the liberty of the Holy Ghost and the holiness of God, that we might each one have confidence in the judgment day, that every one of us can have a heart of unity and a heart of love, a heart of sacrifice, that every one of us can be complete and full in Jesus Christ, and none of us have to come behind on any gift. God says to you, He says to all. He says to me, and He says to all, that we might enjoy the rapturous sweet fellowship of Him in our life every day, that we might indeed reign with Him. So that which we read this morning, it's not locked into a time, but it's a timeless message to everyone who believeth. And God gives those who believe the power to become the children of God. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ, by one Jesus Christ. Our authority has been granted to us through Jesus Christ that you and I might reign today, that you and I may have strength over the attacks of life, that you and I may have within us the authority given by God to say no to those things that are wrong, that we might have authority given to us by God to have peace in our soul, joy in our heart, confidence in our mind, that every one of us may go marching onward and forward, not looking back with regrets and angers and disappointments, but being more than a conqueror through who? Through Him that loved us and granted us this power, granted us this right, extended to us His grace. Every one of us today have an opportunity to enter into a relationship with God through Christ, endowed with His Holy Spirit, given the measure of God without measure, that you and I can be complete in Him today and reign, and no longer have to go along as slaves. Slaves to sin. Slaves to ourself. Slaves to the fads and the fancies of mankind. But we can absolutely be today reigning in righteousness, reigning in freedom through one, Jesus Christ. This morning, let's thank God that we can reign. When Christ came, He disappointed a lot of people. He didn't fit the pattern and He didn't fit the mold of their preconceived ideas. They chafed under Roman bondage. And He didn't come at all to dispose Caesar or Pontius Pilate. In fact, Jesus submitted to their authority. And He disappointed a lot of people. His reign was unlike any other. And today it's like any other reign. Unlike any other reign. It's not reigning in the governments of men. It's not to set up on thrones, kings, or presidents, or leaders of any kind like that. But He came to give victory where the real battle was. And that was in man's soul. That was man being separated because of their iniquity from God. He came to reign where sin reigned. He came to dispose not Pilate, not Herod. He came to dispose the throne, the devil that was causing such havoc in the lives of men, their hearts, their lives, their families, their marriages, causing them to do things that they regretted and made them guilty before God, that took their liberty and took their freedom, that they could not come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help. Praise God, He came to defeat the one who had ensnared mankind with His lies, His deceits, and His sins, and to set us everyone free that we can today reign with Christ. We can sit together with Him, praise God, in heavenly places. We can have sweet communion with Him and no more condemnation. Praise God this morning. He wants us to reign with Him, folks. He wants us to reign over the obstacles that come against you and come against me. He wants us to reign again over prejudices that have warped our thinking and warped our minds. He wants us to reign over what someone we think thinks about us that would separate us and keep us from being one in Christ. He wants us to reign over preconceived ideas. He wants us to reign over the selfishness that causes you or me to hold back our gift, hold back our talent, yea, to even take it and go bury it somewhere. God wants us to be able, He said, freely ye have received, freely give. God wants us to reign over those things that hold us back, keep us tied down. And I'm not indicting us. I'm saying this is what Christ came to do, that we might reign in this life. I find sometimes that there are obstacles that come my way. Paul met them and he talked about them in sin when he was in the seventh chapter of Romans. He said, the things that I would do, I won't do, and I didn't do. The things that I didn't want to do, those things I was compelled almost. He didn't use that word, but I was driven to do. I couldn't help myself. And he cried out, oh, wretched man. Where's my help? Where's my deliverance? Praise God, the answer is in Jesus Christ. He's in the one who died for us. And God wants you to reign. over disappointments. You know what? God wants us to reign over ourselves. And I don't know that I'll even finish this today, but remember this much. The reigning is not over the guy out there. It's the guy in here. It's not reigning over what the guy outside did to me, but it's how I responded to the guy outside on this man. The reigning is a very personal reign. It is not contingent on the polls that Gallup may take. It's not contingent on what the consensus of the world is. But it is a very personal relationship. Paul said it this way, I know in whom I have believed. Paul was confident of this. And he was discouraged at times. He was disappointed at times. But he, through it all, he was more than a conqueror. We can know today as we reign. It's not in me. It's not in you. But it is in the man, Jesus Christ. In Him we live and we can breathe and we can have our being. We have the essence of life and the authority to reign. Paul said it this way, therefore, being justified by faith, and this is what we, oh God, help us to bring the thoughts out. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The greatest, most wonderful gift ever bestowed upon man was that we could return to our Creator innocently and be innocent before Him. Confess our sins and our guilt, and to know we are forgiven, and the strife and the warfare that existed because of sin has now been defeated, and we can reign in this life now triumphant because the devil was defeated on the Calvary's cross. And now you and me, think of this, folks, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this. I think if we are really confident and have peace with God, we can have peace with one another. And then those things that tempt us so regularly, that the world makes sure that we get presented it on a daily basis, I find then if I have peace and confidence with God, to know I'm forgiven, you're forgiven, then those things that would try me without God lose their authority because I found something better. I found a treasure that fadeth not away. I found the pearl of great price. I bought the field. I sold my belongings. I sold myself. I sold my ideas. I sold my anger, my resentment. I sold it, gave it away. However you want to say it. Because I found a richer treasure, the songwriter said, one that fadeth not away. Folks, I would like to encourage you today to have peace with God. I believe peace with God is something that is a strength. There's a vitality. There's a life in that. There's a hunger in that. There's a desire in that. There's a willingness and a want to please Him because of this glorious, glorious peace. I don't want to lose it. Well, sin comes by. Someone does me wrong. I have a little feeling of, wait a minute. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Nothing shall my peace disturb. Free and happy as a bird. Listen, we don't want our peace disturbed. If you possess it, value it. And then I believe there's a strength that causes us to rise up in the name of Jesus when something comes against us and says, I want to usurp authority in your life. I want you to pout. I want you to feel ill will. I want you to be whatever. Trying to say, I want to reign a while. No, you can't reign because I am reigning in life and nothing, I don't want my peace disturbed. I believe if we have peace with God, folks, it's the most valuable thing we can have. You could say that's salvation. Sure it is. And he said, now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm confident that enables us to reign. In the days of the kings, in Daniel 2 and 44, it speaks about the God of heaven establishing a kingdom. And he said that kingdom will not be left. He said God will establish it. And he said that kingdom will not be left to others. And he said it will stand forever. Part of my victory is the part that Jesus Christ came to establish a church. Establish a reign. Establish a kingdom. And we want to look shortly at where is that kingdom established? And where does that reign really occur? We might look around us and say, well, the reign's surely not going on in Hollywood. No, it's probably not. I mean, we can say, and rightfully say, God is overall, and whether they know it or not, He can do what He wants to with Hollywood. I know that. But the point is, we can't look for the reign of Christ in, say, Hollywood, in the bars. But we have a place that God wants us to see it and know it and believe it. And it's not out there somewhere that I can move to that country or move to that land. But it's a place where Jesus Christ establishes Himself through the Holy Ghost. Where the Comforter from God, who is sent from above, comes to begin and does enthrone Himself by our permission, by our submission to His authority. And He gives us power over unclean spirits and all the things of this world. He begins to reign, hence we begin to reign. Thank God for that kingdom that was established. Over in Psalm, I'm not going to look each one of these up, but I'll give them to you. In Psalms 87, 5 and 6. Psalms 87, 5 and 6. He speaks about this or that man was born there. The Bible teaches regeneration, repentance. It teaches turning our back and denouncing sin and confessing our sins. And when that's done from the heart, when that's done with humbleness and embarrassment, if you will, before God, that works a work in us that Jesus termed born from above or born again. Paul talked about it becoming a new experience, a new life. And all things become new to the man, to the woman who has been born and regenerated, made new in Christ Jesus, having the reign of Satan subdued, the lies of the devil subdued, and now the reigning, the authority of Christ in all of its beauty and glory and brilliance and brightness and hope and love comes and takes the place and drives out that old enemy of death. And now we begin to reign. We're born there. It's not something that we join, not something that we become affiliated with and hear their bylaws, but it is an experience between me, between you and God. It is a new birth. It's a love birth. It's a birth born of pain and born of anguish and born of great sorrow by God. It was a birth that Jesus travailed in immensely on the cross. And He purchased for us a new birth. Praise God, we can be born into that. We are born into this kingdom. Over in Romans, the 14th chapter, He speaks about this kingdom. And it's hard for man, I believe, to think outside of the flesh. It's not even common. It's not natural to think out of the flesh. And I say that to say this. I know there's dreamers. And I know there's the poets. But they all got to come down to earth and eat and sleep and have a roof over their head. It's hard for us as people to think outside of the flesh. Consequently, the kingdom of God has been ascribed down through the annals of time with fleshly peculiarities and fleshly traits and expectations not of God but of the flesh, that He's going to reign not in our hearts, but He's going to go and get rid of Caesar. We put the kingdom of God, because we are flesh, in fleshly tones. But here's what Paul wrote concerning the kingdom, the church, the body, the righteousness, in Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God, this place of His reigning, of His superiority, of His authority, His power, of His dominion, this endless dominion. For the kingdom of God is not in fleshly terms of meat nor in drink. And I know there's some thoughts concerning the law here and all that, but I'm using it this way. It's not to be interpreted as a literal kingdom of armies, of man's ideas and man's conceptions. Because it offers, and we're going to read this, it offers to us what none of these other things offer to us. Listen to what it offers and what it gives. It's not meat or drink, but it is something so unique, and it's unique to the divine. Don't be ever mistaken. This is God's kingdom. This is God's church. And the characteristics of God's church and His kingdom are the characteristics of the divine and not of humanity. God uses human instrumentality, but they must be endowed with the Holy Ghost and have, He said, that we have presented to us now the divine nature. He's given us that. So here's what the kingdom of God is. So simple, yet so elusive. It's righteousness. That frees us from guilt. Frees us from the slave position of sinners. It is righteousness. It is peace. And it is joy in the Holy Ghost. From this place, I have talked to us for quite a few weeks on the Holy Ghost and the importance of you and me being the tabernacle of God through the habitation of the Spirit, the habitation of God through the Spirit, that you and me be sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Here Paul tells us that the righteousness and the peace and the joy of this kingdom does not come by meat or drink or what man may think. It is a very direct product of God living in us, God cleansing us and dwelling in us, and me and you being subject to Him and reigning in our lives today. That's our reign, that's our authority, and that's our power. And I say to you today, no kingdom of this world can bring righteousness. No creeds of men can stop sin. No fraternal organization can be the righteousness of God. And peace, first that peace that ceased the warfare between me and God. Only Jesus Christ can afford that. He said, my peace I leave with you. It's not going to be like you may think right now, He said. It's not going to be like the world gives you. It's going to be so much greater, so much more powerful. This peace that I give you is going to go into areas of your life that you thought were hopelessly lost. This peace and this joy and this righteousness is going to go down not just to your mind and your thinking and your adherence to something, but it's going to go down to where the issues of life are. And you're going to have in your heart, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You're going to have within your heart a new heart, and you're going to be remade in a new life. And now this righteousness and this peace and this joy is going to dwell in you. It's not going to be abstract or something you think, I've got to go out and get peace or I've got to go out and get joy. But it's going to be something that is a presence of the Lord in our life. Oh, this morning, thank God that you and I can be born from above. That you and I have the hope set before us of reigning in this life. Reigning over the peculiarities that every one of us have. Peculiarities that have got us in trouble. Peculiarities that have caused us to be guilty before God. Thank God this morning that we're not born in this kingdom of the spirit of the flesh, but we are born of the Spirit, the workings of God's Spirit. Rejoice in that God has come to give us His kingdom and that you and me can reign in that kingdom. You know, the word repentance is a very integral and necessary part of salvation. In Matthew 4:14 through 17, it talked about some of the beginnings of the ministry of Christ. And here's what Christ said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance, acknowledgement that I was wrong. Some that comes easier. Some that comes very difficult. But to be born into this kingdom, we've got to acknowledge I am wrong. I have sinned. I am going to hell. I have been letting everything but God reign in my life. So the Lord told him in Luke, he said, don't think too high of yourself. You see these evils that have happened to other people, and the Jews especially in that time ascribed bad events to because somebody sinned. The young man that was born handicapped, blind, wasn't it, or what? I believe it was blind. He said to the Lord now, they said to him, who sinned, him or his parents? So they ascribed bad things to people, happening to people because they were sinners. Well, I'm sure that does happen, but bad things happen to good people also. We know that. And we must realize then, he said in Luke, do you think those bad things over there, that tower falling on those people and all the bad things happened because they were sinners? He said, no. He said, I tell you, unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. So we must recognize that our ways are the obstacle. It's not my brother's ways. It's not Hollywood's ways. I'm not going to stop Hollywood. God himself is not stopping Hollywood. Do you think I'm going to stop Hollywood? No. It's not their ways that's sending people to hell. It's their own ways. People choosing rather to reign themselves rather than let Christ reign with them. So I thought of that. What do we repent of? You know, we can, and I've been there and done that, we can have all kind of reasons why I'm not saved. One avenue is blame. Called transference. I'm going to transfer in my little mind up here the responsibility of why I'm not spiritual over to these other places. Therefore, it relieves me in my little simple thinking of the responsibility. Whose sins do we repent of? Do we repent of other people's sins? No, we have to repent of our sins. Of our wrongs. Whose sins separated you from God? I'll use the word Hollywood again. Was it the liquor store that separated you from God? Isaiah 59:2. Your iniquities and your sins have separated you from God. Maybe it was kind of pie in the sky thinking that God's going to come and establish a kingdom and banish all evil from the earth. He's not going to do that. He didn't do that. But he came down to where it really made a difference. He came down and appealed to you and to me. And let us know if I want it, if I desire it, if I truly want peace with God, it's mine. It's already been paid for, and it's a gift of God. It's not by works, not by obeying the law per se, but it is the grace and the gift of God, not any works of our own, and it's ours. And yet, what do we see around us today? Men disregarding that. Brother Tony and I was speaking last night at the table. We were just sitting around talking, and he and I agreed on that. And I'm using my words or the Bible's words. There's a great famine of hearing and eating and reading the Word of God. People have all other reasons. But he and I agreed that if people would diligently read the Word, it would convict them and it would offer them hope and show them the way to live. So he wants to, and he does, he appeals to my heart and your heart. The war is not outside, is it? If you really admit it, the war is not outside. Remember here, a few months ago, we used the word frustration. And frustration, I believe, comes from me being out of control. You know what? We get frustrated because we can't control children or control other people or we can't control the government. And we can't sometimes, most of the time, altogether. But here's the good news. We don't have to place our peace upon all these other things that getting in line. Maybe I wanted to put a roof on the house and it rained. That doesn't have to destroy or frustrate me. I can still have that. My peace with God is whether it rains or the sun shines. It's not contingent on that. It's the fact that I know in whom I have believed. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, "And I will build my church, and the gates of the adversary and hell and the devil, the gates of that despicable place, the abyss of darkness will not prevail and not reign over that." So then the question came to me. Jesus Christ came to reign and establish. Where is that? Is it in Jerusalem? Rome? Istanbul? Where is Christ reigning today? Where can I go to find him? Will he come back someday and be in Germany or maybe Washington? No, none of those places. I'm quoting these scriptures, but I give you the scripture 17 and 10 of Luke. People say one day he's going to come and set up on the Mount of Olives. But he told me and he said to you, the kingdom of God is within you. It's through the habitation of God through the Spirit. It's through Christ taking up his abode. Jesus said, my Father and I will take or make our abode, not in Jerusalem, not in Spain, not in Washington, but in you. He's reigning in our hearts, in our lives, in our thinking, in our motives, in our spirit. He's reigning today, right where it has to be. It wouldn't work him reigning in Jerusalem, folks. That's not where the seed of discontent and evil comes from. It comes from within the heart. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, etc. For him to reign in Jerusalem or Washington or Timbuktu wouldn't do my heart a bit of good. And he's not going to reign with armies conquering and going out in hordes and defeating the infidels and the Muslims. Wouldn't do my spirituality any good at all. It wouldn't give me power to say no to lust or anger or greed. It wouldn't give me temperance. It wouldn't give me love and joy and meekness and gentleness and kindness. I'd boast and say, my Jesus is reigning in Jerusalem. We'd boast and be proud of those kind of things. But it would not change the heart. The kingdom of God came down to where it was essential, where it could work its work, perform its miracles, manifest the new life. And he came down to where the trouble was, the heart of man. Deceitfully wicked. You know, we talk about Hollywood and pornography and all that. Folks, that's evil. It's terrible. Don't you forget what he said about our old heart. Deceitfully wicked. You may not ever look at pornography. You never may go to terrible places. God forbid you do go. But I want to tell you something. An unregenerated heart is wicked. Not because I said so, but I can tell you it is so. Because I was there. And the vileness of life, the vileness, it is a cesspool, a congregating place for thoughts that will generate from the devil. And folks, we're going to do them. Or given the opportunity, we're going to do them. So the kingdom of God is within you. Romans 10 and 10. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. From the very depths of our being. And then again, I want to repeat what I said in John 14. The Lord in His established kingdom is a kingdom within. It's a kingdom of peace. It comes with joy and righteousness. And it reigns through Jesus Christ. Now, you're talking about a miracle. If I take this cup and open up my chest some way and stick that cup in there and sew it back up, I wouldn't have room for it. And I'd be wanting to go back and get it taken out. But listen to this. A miracle. How big is God? Wow. How great is God? Wow. Praise His name. How loving is God? I mean, how can we ever... If we go way out there, God's already been there. Where were you, Job, when I created the Leviathan? Oh, I wasn't around. No, you wasn't, Job, but I was. And this great, holy God wants to come and live in our hearts. And it's not uncomfortable. That's the beauty of it. It's joy and peace and righteousness through the indwelling God in the heart of man. The kingdom of God reigning within where it has to reign, folks, in the heart of the believer. It's the only place it'll work. But it'll work perfectly. It'll work to perfection. It'll keep us clean. It'll wash us. It'll give us visions. It'll give us knowledge. It'll give us truths. It'll give us how to please God. It will give us confidence at the judgment. On and on we can say about this beautiful kingdom reigning within us. It's Christ. Christ and God. I mean, I can't. There's some things I can't separate. God and truth and Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the Word and eternity. I mean, they're just God. I mean, they're inseparable. They're so wrought in God. They have their origination in God. They are of God. They are God. Think about old brother Saul. Call him brother. He became a brother. You remember what he did? Acts 9 talks about it. First chapter, we pick up Saul on his way to Damascus. And Saul's not whistling. And he hadn't got good intent. What Saul is doing is breathing out slaughterings. Death, if you will. Threatenings. Intimidations. Repent or else. Renounce Jesus or else. And we see Paul a little bit later on there. Big, great light. Little discourse between him and Jesus. Who are you? Who are you? I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard, Paul, Saul, to kick against the prick. Let me interrupt myself. Don't we realize it's hard to take the road of the sinner? Don't we realize that the ills of man go back to sin? The unhappiness of man goes back to the carnal nature? The disappointments and the things that take away from your joy didn't come from God. They came from the humanity that's in us all. It's hard. It's hard to take away that opposes peace, joy, and righteousness. When you choose to go other ways, get ready, it's going to be rough. Said it's hard, Paul, Saul, to kick against a prick. And I love what Paul said, or Saul said at that time. Lord, what will you have me to do? I don't know what you think about it, but I think at that point Paul died. Not literally, of course. I believe something happened, transpired to the degree Paul needed it, all his religious training, the light bulbs went off, And Paul said, it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me, the sinner. It's me that's wrong. It's me, the source of my unhappiness. It's me that separated me from you, Lord. And he humbled himself, as we all must. Lord, he didn't say Jesus, or he didn't say you. He didn't say, what do you want with me? He said, Lord. Oh, saints, dear ones today, humble yourself. He is Lord. One day, if you don't believe it now, he's going to prove it. But he's Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? You know what? God would have us probably today do some things different. Would you ask him that? Would you consider that? I asked the Lord one time, many years ago now. I was about 32 years old. Laying in my bed one night, disgusted with myself, under condemnation. And I said, Lord, I didn't say it quite this way, but almost verbatim, because I didn't even know this scripture. Lord, what do you want me to do? He said to me, he said this, I've shown you everything you need to know. And he immediately, in the millisecond of space and time, he brought back things to me, so it was like a dream. It was so fast, even faster. Though they say, you know, they tell us a dream is just like that, and you may think it's ours. Well, this is how the Lord, he just all of a sudden, whoosh, and everything he had told me concerning my salvation was right there. I was totally conscious of it. He said, I was speechless, kind of like Paul. The tears came out of my eyes. He said, I've shown you all you need to know. Saints, the Lord, dear ones today, the Lord has shown us what we need. We need Christ. And we need him reigning. Do you lack peace? How shall I say this? If we lack peace and joy, to that degree we lack Christ. That doesn't mean we're necessarily unsaved. But it means that he's not reigning in that place. And we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me, Lord. Saints, learn this word. Two words. Forgive me. It's a good word for saints to know. That doesn't mean we have to be forgiven of sin. But Lord, I've allowed something else. I allowed myself to reign. Forgive me. It disturbed my peace. It disturbed my joy. It tempted me in an unrighteous way. Forgive me, Lord. May the Lord help us today. There was a man named Legion. And we find him coming to Jesus. I don't understand human strength to this degree that it couldn't hold a man. I've seen some mighty tough cables and mighty stiff chains in my life. It's hard to imagine someone that couldn't be contained by it. Clothed and in his right mind, set him at the feet of Jesus. Folks, he was reigning right there. Those things that bound him, as terrible as they were and unclean as they were, he began to reign. Probably didn't have a penny to his name. Probably had to go back to his sister's house to eat supper that night. But did you know he was reigning? Those things that oppressed him, those things that were possessing him and reigning in him, they were defeated. Let's maybe stop here in Matthew and John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter and the 25th verse, we'll read that. Because here's a promise. I hope you believe me, but I sure hope you believe God. In Christ. John 14 and 25. These things have I spoken unto you, that being present, being yet present with you, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then he said this, folks, and you may have it, and you may not, but Jesus still said it. Peace I leave with you. He left it, folks, and it's ours for the claiming. It's ours for the humbling of ourselves. It's ours as a gift given to us by our gracious Creator. No man can keep us. No man can shut the door. No man can open the door. He stands at the door of our hearts and he knocks. And he'll come into us if we will. He has allowed us access to peace and joy and righteousness. And it's ours because he left it to us. So if I don't have it, it's not Christ's fault. It's not Christ's fault. And he said, no man can shut the door and keep you from going in, so we can't blame it on my neighbor, the cows keep getting out or something. We can't blame it on our husband or our wife. He said, no man can shut this door. I've opened it, and you can go in and go out. You can find pasture there. Kind of tying some scriptures together. May the Lord help us then. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace, I give it to you. I hope this morning there's a hunger in your soul and mind. Peace is joy. Peace is comfort. Peace is hope. Peace is power. Peace is something that it is the fulfillment of God in us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May the Lord help us this morning. Kingdom of God reigning in this life through one Jesus Christ, presented to us, given to us, paid for us, that you and me can have it in all the glory and all the power, that you and I can be a possessor now of the kingdom. Not detached in Jerusalem, but reigning right here in our hearts today. A reign that is glorious. A reign that causes the lion to lay down with the calf or something. The bear and the cow to eat together. Takes the old beastly nature, Isaiah 8th chapter, takes the old beastly nature and subdues it to the precious kingdom of God. Peace and joy, love and all the fruit of the Spirit. And we can have this today. We don't have to leave and we don't have to go away and say, well, so and so, so and so. He said there in Isaiah about his rest. And he said that his rest shall be glorious. Have you experienced that for yourself? Have you experienced, and are you experiencing, rest and the glorious rest and the glorious peace of God? Has it come in its fullness? Is it a joy? Is it something that you hunger after as you would your daily bread, and even more so? Within was the pain and the suffering and the anguish and the frustration and the disappointment. We blamed the other guy, but it came from my own failure. I would ask you today, how's your heart feel? Take away all the facades and all the excuses, and it's you and God, you and Jesus. How does your heart feel today? Is there peace today in the inner man? Can you look at the Bible and look up to heavens or however you want to and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do you have that peace within you today? Is it raining there? Is it alive there? Have you allowed Christ in all of His glory to be formed in you? I believe Paul wrote to him, he said, till Christ be formed in you, till the maturity and the beauty and the fruit of Christ. Have we today allowed Christ to be formed in us? That's our peace. That's our joy. They were willing to be baptized and they were willing to go through certain things. And Jesus said, I have a baptism that you will yet be baptized with. The Lord wants to baptize us today beyond the water baptism. He wants to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. He wants to baptize us with the fire of the Holy Ghost. He wants to come into our life and purge out the enemy. Me, you, self, fleshly ways. He has a baptizing and his fan is in his hand. And he'll thoroughly purge the threshing room floor, that nothing but the sweet essence of Christ will be left. That peace and joy and righteousness will reign because we allowed him in to thoroughly purge the floor of our heart. We can have that today. It's ours because Jesus Christ gave it to us. That's why we have it, folks. He paid for it, and he gave it to us. So now today, we each one can, if we will, reign in this life through Jesus Christ. You pray for me.